Greetings, lovely listeners. Today we're going to talk about how we as mediums try to force contacts when we're working, what that looks like, and how to be aware of this to not do it in the future. So what do I mean by forcing contacts? This is when a medium thinks, when a medium goes to work, they bring a contact, they land it, or at least they think they do, with the person in the audience or their private client, and they proceed to unfold the contact and communicate with spirit, yet they are getting no's and still trying to make the contact work. This is forcing the contact. It's uncomfortable if you're an observing person in the room, the dem, watching this more private session unfold, if you're able to. It's uncomfortable. We feel and know that something's not right with the link or the contact. We just understand that something's not adding up with this heartbeat blend, spirit, medium, client. And not only will we be able to feel that this contact has not landed and it is being forced, we'll be able to see it with the client's response. They're going to give no's or pauses. I can understand that. I know what you're saying. This makes sense. I think I know what you're talking about. Those are not, if I'm a working medium, those are not responses I like to get. You want the client nodding their head, yes, yes, yes. You know, and when the contact is forced and it hasn't been landed yet, you will get these wishy-washy responses from the client, so we can see it with the client responses. We can also see it, well, and we can hear it with the client responses, but we can also hear it with the medium's responses as well. Because when that first no happens, I can't tell you how many times I've seen mediums try to laugh off a no, try to make it fit, try to vague it down, try to say, I must have misspoke there or gotten that wrong then. Let me get more. Let me dive deeper. The medium makes an excuse. And the last thing the medium does when they get a no is they don't want to face it. It's like they're in denial, actually. And what I've done with my students, when they have gotten such amazing, before I get ahead of myself. So this is what I call forcing the contact. We can feel it in the audience. We can hear it with the client knows. We can hear it with the medium and the responses and trying to make it fit. And what unfolds then is a very gruesome and hard to watch, stifled energy of a contact that is forced through. And most of the time, though, that will not last for 7 minutes because spirit will do what is called a switch out. And that person who the medium thinks they're with, that sitter's loved ones will come in and switch places, and they'll help the medium out and finish the contact. Very rarely do I see a forced contact complete. That's a word. Go to the full 7 minutes. Usually spirit jumps in and they take over, and then the yeses start flowing. And you can feel that as well. That's a podcast for another time. But I think it's important to note that there's 3 to 4 minutes where that medium forces that spirit person on someone because they're too afraid to confront the no's. And so how do we fix this? You know, mediums may be aware sometimes. I've had some students get off the stage and they're like, I don't know if I was with her in the beginning, but then it just started flowing. Well, that's a switch. Or I'll never forget one of my students. She got off the stage and she looked at me. She says, I wasn't with that person. I said, I know you weren't. I said, but you pulled it off very nicely. I said, and if any medium can actually pull off a nice pull off the energy that you did when you knew you weren't with that person, and it was a formal demonstration, then you can do anything on the platform, right? But the most important thing was that my student learned in that. My student learned in that moment how it felt to force a contact. And we as mediums, we know. So the first thing we need to do is understand that you have to be brave enough when you know you're not with the right person to speak up, even though you may not look as strong or confident or as superior of a medium as you want to appear to the crowd, to your peers. You have to honor the energy. You have to honor spirit. You can't do wrong by them, you know? And so the first thing I think we have to acknowledge when we're in that space, if we know we haven't landed the contact, is that we haven't. And listen to the no and then speak up about it. Because I think sometimes ego gets in the way and we just don't want to look bad. And the medium will continue to make it work and laugh off or vague down or force the contact. Now, there are mediums who aren't aware and they're so nervous and they just want to keep that energy flowing, and they get that first no and they just keep going, because there's a big part of training out there with some mentors that teaches drop the no, forget the no, keep going, spirit will bring it back around. So these are the mediums who you will see ignore that no and just keep going. And I'm going to be honest, this is how that first no that you get, if you're working and you have been getting yeses, it was an easy land, you landed your contact, you brought yeses, you've got 3 or 4 yeses, right? If you get a hard no, and this will be in the beginning of the contact, so this is very important to listen, you'll throw out your pieces, you'll land the contact. That next piece, maybe the second or third piece, will be a very hard no. And it's those first 2 to 3 pieces after you've landed the contact that will be a hard no, because spirit is telling you, no, you haven't landed me. You haven't. And spirit will give you a piece of evidence that is so undeniably a no for the client, the person you think you're with that spirit person, to where you should say, oh, red flag, I know I got a blue Mustang. And that's actually a true piece of evidence from my student who ignored it. And it was her golden piece that landed her the contact in the audience at Galveston, what, about 5 months ago. But when you know you've got a blue Mustang connection, why are you going to drop that? You think you've landed it, got one hand up in the audience, or the client knows in the private session, and then you give a blue Mustang connection, and you know you've got that car. You know it's a Mustang. You see the blue. You know it's of relevancy. And if the client cannot understand, or the person in the audience cannot understand that piece in any way, shape, or form, that's spirit saying, you haven't landed me. So, you know, ask the audience again. And so then what will happen is, if the medium listens, they'll be like, you know what, I know I've got this person. I know that there's a blue Mustang connected to this family. I'm going to open up to the group again and see who can understand this blue Mustang. Because what happens is, people with those first 3 to 5 pieces, sometimes they don't put their hands up. Sometimes they're unsure. Sometimes they're scared. Sometimes they don't want to steal someone's contact from spirit. But if you get that hardcore piece of evidence, it will cause their hand to go up. And what we need to acknowledge is that the spirit person is working with us, trying to get you away from the person you think you're with and to the person they need to be with. So let me recap. You give out your 3 to 5 pieces. You think you land the contact, right? And you single in, you're with one person in the group, or you're in a private session, and they think they know who you have, right? And then you give a solid piece, maybe 2 or 3 more pieces, and in that is such a strong piece of evidence that is a no. That is your red flag to say, okay, then maybe I'm not with your father in our private session now, because I know I've got a blue Mustang. And they're going to think, you know what? My best friend's father had a blue Mustang. So this may be him, because he's in spirit. You know, or you throw out to the audience, I know, thank you so much. I know you raised your hand for my first 3 to 5 pieces, or I felt drawn to you, but Spirit really gives me a connection to a blue Mustang here. I need to ask the audience again. I am feeling in this direction though, left, right, center, whatever. And then you're hopefully going to get that piece up. And if you don't, or you're going to get that hand up. But that first no, I think that is Spirit saying, oh, wait a minute, Jennifer, you're not with them. Go somewhere else. If you are already an established working medium that's giving sessions and deming, you know your mediumship. You know when you have that piece. So why are you not giving yourself enough credit to trust it? I think the first no is a red flag. I don't think we need 3 no's. I don't think there's this 3 strikes or 3 no's, you're out. Because I think when you're already working with clients and deming your mediums, you shouldn't doubt your mediumship. But yet, what do? We get comfy. We don't want to be wrong. Let's forget the blue Mustang and let me just keep going. Okay, now they're showing me that they had a lot of boys, a lot of sons. And what the person's going to say is no. Okay, that's your second no. Guess what? You're just digging the hole with all these no's, but hold on to it because it is the golden evidence that will land you the contact. It's just a matter of how much you want to dig the hole with the no pieces of evidence, which technically speaking here, if you're not with the right person, those no's are your pot of gold because that's what's really going to help you place the contact. Your no's are going to help you place the contact. Isn't that like a catch-22 right there, right? So you've got all these no's built up. Well, then take a step back. If you want to keep the no's going and you don't trust yourself, you got to get more no's to know you're not with that person, then guess what? Grab all those no's, hold on to them, and then relay it to the audience or the client and say, I've gotten a lot of no's with this young lady. I may not be with her. So I know everyone was listening to these pieces, who here can understand this? There you go. And then you will, but you the medium have to control this. You have got to control your group. You've got to control yourself by honoring that first no. And being humble enough to say, I messed up. That I may not be with you, my dear. I know I was drawn to you, or I know you put your hand up, but I know I've got a blue Mustang and sons here with me. And if you can be brave enough to do that and then work with your nose and throw it out there and say, I may have been wrong, right? Or I may have misplaced the spirit person. I guarantee you, you're going to find your way in that crowd. You just have to know how to navigate it. But I will ask you, for the sake of spirit and good mediumship, don't ignore the no's. Don't laugh them off. That's my biggest peeve. You know, those joker mediums who say, well, she's showing me a daughter. Okay, well, maybe she wanted a daughter. Or maybe she, I've heard everything. These mediums try to make these joking excuses as to why they got a piece of evidence, but it's not making sense. So don't laugh it off, vague it down, make an excuse, give examples. Well, yes, it's sewing, but it's with her hands, but it could have been this, 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 or this. Don't do that. For the sake of good mediumship and honoring spirit, you know, honor the nose as well. Honor that first one. You're better than that. And this podcast is for those who, you know, are pretty deep into their mediumship and their profession with it. Listen to that first red flag. You're better than a no. You're better than that. You don't doubt your mediumship. And to my younger mediums listening, learn from it. You know, this can still apply to you. You know, in those first few years of development, year of development especially, the mind can still be very active in the mediumship. This is not necessarily a podcast for those mediums. Now, you're still understanding the role of the conscious mind in the mediumship and feeling how it can interrupt and feeling when it's really still and feeling the receivings in that silence and that stillness of the mind from spirit and what that filters up as and how that feels. But when you get the hang of that and you know how it feels to receive from spirit, don't ignore the red flag. Don't ignore that first no. Trust it. All right. I hope this helps y'all navigate a little bit better in your sessions or in your group dems for those actively working out there. Thank you for listening. Email me at jenniferfezio@gmail.com if you have any questions about my podcasts. If you want to pop into my dem tonight, I have a dem tonight. It's my freebies. I usually do four to eight freebie dems throughout the year. I do like 3 or 4 months worth for people that can't afford it, for the curious, for people that want to just see what, you know, mediumship is about, watch me work, my current students, and really people that are considering studying under me. You know, this is a great place to get a feel for me. Starts at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's about 3 hours from now. You can go to my website, jenniferfezio.com. Click on events. You'll see my black banner with my dates. The Zoom link is on there, the ID. So just join the meeting, enter that ID, no passcode needed, and maybe we'll see you there. Bring questions. This is a teaching dem tonight. And if you can't catch this one, I have one for November and December as well. Mentorship registration is coming up. Well, it's already up, but mentorship begins soon. It begins in January. I've got a Sunday morning, a Thursday morning, and a Tuesday night group open. So if you want to join me, please do. And if you don't want to commit for the long haul, catch me at the Journey Within, where I will be teaching shorter classes that may be a little bit more conducive to your time needs, financial needs. Check it out at journeywithin.org. All right. Until next time, listeners, talk to you then.